Okay, we're going to start now the next Mishnah. Mishnah Gemel. Asara Nisyoines Nisnasa Avram Avinu V'Amad B'Chulo. Avram Avinu had 10 tests, and he passed them all, Amad B'Kulam. L'Hoidiya Kama Chibasei Shel Avram Avinu Olav HaShalom. To show the Chiba of Avram Avinu. Now, so Avraham Avinu, we all know, had 10 tests. But on this Mishnah, where it said, so there are various mefarshim and different ways how to calculate the 10 nisyonos. So the way we're going to go through them. The first, I mean, there are a lot of them that are the same, and a lot of them that we know. But there's a couple different ones to get to the 10. So the first one is Rabbeinu Yoina, and he says as follows. He says the first one is Ur Kasdim. And his lashon is that Nimrod threw Avram Avinu into the Kibshon HaEsh, and he was saved. Now, even though that one is not written in the Torah Mefurash, we don't have the story of Avram Avinu in the Kibshon HaEsh, but it's Medivrei Kabbalah, and we're going to see the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, the different midrashim about all the different details of these nisyonos after we go through the count. And we have a remez. We know the remez that in Parshas Lech Lecha, in Parshas Noach, it says Ur Kastim, the fire of Kastim, and Chazal tell us that Ur Kastim was this Kivshon HaEsh that Avram Avinu, the Ur is the fire, Avram Avinu was thrown into the fire. And the Rabbi Yaina says the reason it's written in Parshas Noach before Parshas Lech Lecha is to tell you that because of that nisayon that Avraham Avinu passed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid him back and brought him to Eretz Yisrael. Like it says later, Hashem told him, I am Hashem, Asher Yitzichu Mi'ur Kastim, I took you out of Ur Kastim, Latzis Lecha Es Aretz Hazayis L'Rishta, to give you this land as an inheritance. It's the same idea it says, Noach Matzachein Beinei Hashem, and then that's the end of Parshas Bereishis, and then Parshas Noach, you have Eila told us Noach, that Noach was saved, Bizchus Noach Matzachein. So it's the same idea that in the end of Parshas Noach, where we haven't been introduced to Avraham Avinu yet, but it talks about Ur Kastim, to tell you that when you start Parshas Lech Lecha, you'll know that Avraham Avinu had a Zchus. So that's the first one, is Ur Kastim. The second one, Rabbeinu Yoina says, is Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Hashem commanded him to go on this trip, and he did it. That is the second Nisayon. The third one is Vayihi Rav Ba'aretz. After Avraham Avinu gets to Eretz Canaan, there's a big famine. Now this was a test, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him, if you go there, you're going to be so successful. V'nivruchu b'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama. Through you, everyone's going to be blessed. And he gets there, and instead of him seeing everyone being blessed, all of a sudden there's a famine. So that was a nisayon for him. The fourth one is Likichas Sarah Leparei. When he came to Mitzrayim, Sarah was taken by Parei. The fifth one, says Rabbeinu Yaina, is the Mechama with the Arba Melachim. He went out to fight against these four kings. And the Lashon is, he only had 318 men, as the Pasuk says. But he was Beteach B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. He trusted in Hashem. And because of that trust, there was a nes, he was saved. And he was able to save light, and he was able to save all of the property of Stoim and Amor that was taken away. And Rabbi Yonah throws in this Nisayin, Vayasoivel Hamikrim L'tayvasa L'schusay. And he was able to be soivel to weather Hamikrim, all the things that happened to him, even though they didn't all seem to be so good, and they didn't seem to be all for his benefit, yet he understood that if the Rabbi Shalom is sending him these things, they are L'tayvasa V'lizchusay. The sixth one is that Hashem gave him the command of Bris Milah. He was an old man. He was 99 years old, and it was a sakana to do the Bris Milah, and he did the Bris Milah. The seventh one is when Avimelech took Sarah. The eighth one is when he had to chase out Hagar and Yishmael. Hashem said, chase them away. And even though the pasuk says, Vayera Beinav, Al Oidais Benai, Vayera Avram, Avram, he felt very bad about it. It was very hard for him to do. He felt this was his son, and to chase him away was not an easy thing, but he did it. The ninth one is Akedat Yitzchak. And the tenth one, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is the Kfura of Sarah Imenu. Why? Because Hashem had told him, if you go walk in the land, La'arka, La'rachba, go in the length, go in the width, Ki L'chaetz Nen, I'm going to give you this land. And then what happens? His wife Sarah dies, and he can't find a place to bury her. This is supposed to be his land. Hashem said it's his land. And he can't find a place to bury her until he goes and he has to pay a lot of money to buy her a burial place. Still, the Lahir Acher Midaisel says, Acher Midaisel, still, he had no tainus on Hashem. He passed the test. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, these are the 10 tests. L'haydiya kama chibatzai. What is l'haydiya? L'galot. L'haydiya means to reveal to the world. Kama chibatzai shel Avram Avinu. The yira and the shleimus in all the midas that Avram Avinu, it's these 10 tests, showed the world that Avram Avinu was a shalem in his emuna, in his midas, in everything, he was perfect. Those are the 10 that Rabbeinu Yonah counts. Now, some of the other Rishayim have a problem with this count. One problem they have is they don't like ending that the Akedah is not number 10. We know the Akedah as being the greatest test that there ever was. Ki atoya dati kireli kimata, we know that. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it was only number 9. It wasn't even the end. There was another test which doesn't even seem to be such a big test afterwards. Some of these tests don't seem to be the biggest tests in the world. They're hard things. But nothing like the Akedah, go shecht your son. He passed that test, but we still need another one. You can't find a burial place for Sarah. It's very anticlimactic to the whole thing. That's number 1. And number 2, they have a problem also. If I find where it is, because there's a medrash that says that the first test is Lech Lecha and the last test is Lech Lecha. The first test is Lech Lecha Me'artzecha and the last test is Lech Lecha L'Eretz HaMeiria. So here we have a medrash who says the Lech Lechas are the beginning and the end. Many medrashim. So that if Lech Lecha is the first test, So Rabbeinu Yaina counted or cast them as the first test, the Kibshana Eish. That was before Lech Lecha. And Rabbeinu Yaina, like we just said, counted Kfura Sara as the last one. And here the Medrash seems to say it had to be 1 and 10 were Lech Lecha, Mi'artzecha, and the Akedah, and the other 8 had to fit into the middle. So that's why Rabbeinu Yaina's count, some of the Midrashim have a problem with. You'll notice everybody agrees it's 10. So 10 is our magic number. Everyone agrees it's 10. The question is, which 10? Now, let's see. The Meiri says, and he starts off with the end, Lahidia. What's the purpose of knowing this? The purpose of knowing Avraham Avinu's test is not only to tell us who he was, but to teach us. If a person wants to know, to what extent do I have to do for Hashem? To what extent do I have to suffer for Hashem? To what extent do I have to be civil? I have to weather things. How much do I have to bother myself? Look, covet Hashem. Look at Avraham Avinu. Look what he went through. Look, covet Yitzray. That's why, look at all these nisyanos he went through, and they're not all tests. Will you listen to me? Each one. Will you be makabel? How will you react? Will you have tainus? These are called nisyanos. So we need to know them to teach us how much a person, to what extent a person has to go. The Meiri has the following counts. Some of them overlap. But it's kedai to say them over because he also adds in words to tell us what each nisayan is. Rabbeinu Yain had some of them, he added in words. And the Meiri has his way. So the first one he says is that, the way he says it is, that Nimrod wanted to kill him. Now we're going to see this b'arichas when we go through the Pirkei de Belazar. But Nimrod wanted to kill him and Avraham Avinu had to hide. It's not yet the Kibshana Eish. We'll see Avraham Avinu for many years had to hide away from Nimrod. So that is the first nisayon. As an offshoot of number one, says the Meiri, Yesh Mefarshim, that he threw him in the Kibshan Ha'esh. So when you look at the Kibshan Ha'esh, the word cast in Nisayan, there's two ways to look at it. The end of that Nisayan was the Kibshan Ha'esh, but that was the climax. That was the end of it when he got saved. But there were many years before that that Nimrod was chasing him and he had to hide away Avraham Avinu and he was thrown into jail Avraham Avinu. That was all either that was the Nisayan or part of the Nisayan. It was one big package, however you want to say it. But the Meiri has just broadened the Nisayan of the Kibshon Ha'esh. Again, this doesn't answer the problem that you have to start with Lech Lecha. The Meiri doesn't seem to have that problem, right? Like we just said, one of the questions was. The second was Lech Lecha. The Lashon of the Meiri is Hashem commanded him to leave his land and his birthplace to go b'makim lo yida'ay. It's a place that no one knows from him. That's part of the Nisayan. Going to the place where he's an unknown. Where he was well known. He was well known as a fugitive. He was well known as a troublemaker. He was well known as someone trying to be Mefarsim Shem Hashem. He was a well known person, Avram. Famous, infamous, however you want to say it. Hashem tells him, but he was a personality. Hashem tells him, go Eretz Kana. No one knows you over there. It's a hard thing. That's the Nisayon. The third one, says the Meiri, is the Bris Bein Absarim. Now this is one we haven't met yet. The Bris Bein Absarim. Because in the Bris Bein Absarim, he was shown Golus Banav. How is Avraham Avinu going to be makabel that? How's he going to deal with his children are going to Golus? Hashem showed him all the Dalit Malchias, all the Golus that they're going to be. The whole history of Klal Yisrael was shown to him. Future history of Klal Yisrael. So that also was a Nisayan. The fourth one was the Rav in Eretz Canaan, the famine, which he says the same thing like Rabbeinu Yaina, that Hashem told him over here, I'm going to make you legai gadol, a little different than Rabbeinu Yaina. Rabbeinu Yaina said, Hashem said, v'nivruchu v'cha, everyone will be blessed through you. The way the Miri says that Hashem promised him, I'm going to make you to a guy gadol in this place. And now there's a famine, but not as much as the famine is the problem. What did the famine lead Avraham Avinu to do? He had to go down to Mitzrayim. So he had Hashem to go to that place and I'm going to make you a big nation. He gets there and he's forced to go down to Mitzrayim. What's going on? So it's similar to Rabbeinu Yaina, but different. So you see, even in the ones that they're the same, they're tweaking the Nisayan a little differently. The fifth one is the same. She was taken, Sarah was taken to Paroi. The sixth one, he says, is also the war with light, with the four malachim. The seventh one, Mila, also the same. Eighth one is Abimelech, also the same. The ninth one is the same, the Megarish Hagar Ve'espina. And the Lashon of the Meiri was that even though it was Rabbe Einav, like Rabbeinu Yaina said, it was Rabbe Einav, still Kibel Mitzvasa Yisbarach Bizrizus. That's an addition. He was mekabel to do it bizrizus. It says, Vayashkem Avram Babaiker. It was hard for him to do. He didn't want to do it. He didn't delay. Hashem said, go and do it. So what? He got up early in the morning. Bizrizus. It's a mitzvah to do. And the tenth one is the Akedah. So at least the Meiri ends with the Akedah. Okay, so that is the Meiri. Now, the Meiri points out that he says Gedolei HaMechabrim, he's going to bring others who argue with him, which is the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't count or kastim, because the Rambam is going with the Medrash that says it starts with Lech Lecha and it ends with Lech Lecha. So therefore, or kastim is before Lech Lecha, you can't do that. So which one? And the Rambam explains also that or kastim is not written in the Torah. All the rest of them are written in the Torah Mefurish. Like Rabbeinu Yaina pointed out, even though it's not in the Torah, but we know about it. The Rambam says if it's not in the Torah, it's not there. So you get rid of or kastim. And the Rambam also doesn't hold the Bris Ben Absarim as a Nisayan. So the Rambam is missing two. So what does the Rambam put in? The Rambam puts in that Avraham Avinu had to marry Hagar after he thought he wouldn't have children from Sarah. That was a Nisayan for him. The Meiri says that's not called a Nisayan. He doesn't understand why marrying Hagar after he thought he's not having children with Sarah is called a Nisayan. So the Vezeh HaDaber built in nearly as that Nikra Nisayan. What's the Nisayan? Elisha Efsher, listen to this Meiri. Why is it called a Nisayan? So I don't know, if I would have been, if I'm the Rambam, or if I would have been the Meiri, you know, I would have said, well, you know, you married to Sarah all these years, you thought Hashem gave brachas, right? When Lech Lecha was 30, 40 years before, how many years it was, all these things, and whatever, not having children, Sarah is the biggest tzaddikus, and he has to go marry her, Shivcha, Hagar. I mean, I can hear it's a Nisayan. If Hashem wants it, so it's a Nisayan. It doesn't sound so wild to me. But the Miri says he doesn't understand it. But the way he says it, perhaps it's called a Nisayan because Avraham Avinu thought he's not going to have any children. And now, if he stays married to Sarah, as far as he knows, he won't have children. So what's he doing? He's putting himself into a situation where he will have he may have children with Hagar. So why is that such a big deal? Well, there's something called Tzar Gidobana. That's a hard thing. So why do I need to be machnis myself into a situation where till now I thought I won't have children and I won't have a problem of Tzar Gidobana? And now I'm getting married, I'll have a problem of Tzar Gidobana. That's the Nisayan. I don't know, Meiri is the Meiri. But that's what he says. So I don't understand why it's, you know, if it's assuming that the question is a good question of what the Nisayan of marrying Hagar is, I don't really understand how this makes it any better. But that's what the Meiri says. So that's one that the Rambam puts in, marrying Hagar. And number two, the Rambam, it was missing another one. He holds that sending away Hagar and sending away Yishmael are two separate Nisayanas. Everyone else lumped them together. In fact, some want to say that when Rabbeinu Yaina said sending away Yishmael was a Nisayan, the truth is Rabbeinu Yaina at the end of this parak, all the way later in Mishnah Yates, Rabbeinu Yaina seems to say Avraham Avinu did not care to send away Hagar. What bothered him was Yishmael, so the only Nisayan was Yishmael. Even if it bothered him, but it's like one action, sending them both away. The Rambam holds that each one on its own was its independent Nisayan. There's Hagar and there's Yishmael. So he gets two out of that, and that's how he's mashlim the two. Okay, so that is the way they count it here. Now, before we go any further, I want to now go into all this is really based on a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar is a medrash. Rabbi Elazar HaGadol wrote this medrash. And basically, what he does is he has many prakim that deal with the ten nisyanos, but he goes into detail. I'm just going to be reading midrashim here, but a lot of them, maybe you'll know the details, maybe you won't know the details, but each one of them has a chiddush in exactly what the story was, and then we'll see a little bit more what the nisayon was. Now, the way he starts off, the Medrash, it says, Avraham Avinu had 10 nisyanos and he passed them all. Why did Hashem give him 10 nisyanos? So later on in this parak, it's going to say that Klal Yisrael tested Hashem 10 times. In the Mishnah Dal, it says, Asar nisyanos nisu aviseinu es hamokim bamidbar. 10 times Klal Yisrael tested Hashem in the Midbar. So now, when we test Hashem, it's not such a good thing. So Hashem was nervous that it's going to be a kitrug against Klal Yisrael. They're testing. Hashem knew what's going to happen. So he was hiktim refuah lamaka. Hashem many times is makdim the refuah before the maka. So therefore he had Avraham Avinu pass 10 tests, and in the schus of those 10 tests, when Klal Yisrael then tests Hashem 10 times, it won't be such a problem for them. What's the first test, says the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar? That when Avraham Avinu was born, the kings wanted to kill him. Kol Gidoyle Nimrod wanted to kill him. Now why, when he was born? So the Medrash says that they saw some type of, the astrologer saw some type of star on the night of his birth, and it was they realized that a troublemaker was born, and they realized it was Avraham Avinu, and he's going to make trouble, so go kill him right away. And for 13 years, Avraham Avinu hid underground. He didn't see not the sun nor the moon for 13 years. When he came out of there at age 13, he was speaking Lashon HaKodesh, says the Medrash, and he was already disgusted with Avodah Zarah, and he believed in the Rabbanu Shalom. There are different midrashim in what age Avraham Avinu was when he was makir his Vayra, 3, 13, the Rambam says 40, I think, others say 50. There's different ages, but here it says by 13 already, he believed in Hashem, yeah?
Well, we always learned that Avraham Avinu found Hashem through like his son.
Different midrash, yes. Because he saw that the sun was lying, he said it must be. What?
If he didn't go outside, he didn't know if it's
that. Right. So then it's a different medrash.
Okay.
Different medrash. That is Nisayan number one, hiding underground for 13 years. Nisayan number two, says the Pirkei Der Blazer, they put him in jail for 10 years. I mean, after he got out from underground, so he was a rebel now, because not only did the stars say he's a troublemaker, he was a troublemaker. He believed in Hashem, and he's making trouble. So, they put him in jail for 10 years. 3 years in this city, and 7 years in another city. And after those 10 years, they took him out, and they threw him into the Kibshon Haish. And the Medrash says, HaMelech HaKavod, that means Hashem, Poshat Yad Yeminoi, stretched out his right hand and saved him from the Kivshon HaEsh. Like we said, the pasuk before, Hashem said, Ani Hashem Asher Etzeitzicha Mir Kastim. That means not only I took you out of the land of Kastim, I took you out of that fire. Hashem stuck his right hand in and took him out. That is Nisayah number two. So the Birkut, till now, it was either Kibshon HaEsh, or we said the Me'iri split it, but it was all one Nisayan. And here we see clearly, Pirkei Avos, two separate Nisayanis. One is having to live underground for 13 years, and the other one is being in jail for 10 years and thrown to the Kibshon HaEsh. The third is, Til Tulay Mi Beis Aviv Umi Mishpachta. That he had to leave his family left. This is Lech Lecha. And this is, he's leaving, the Medrash says he left Ur Kasdim and he went to Charan. And in Charan, Terach, his father, died. And his mother died too. And this is one of the places where it says what Avraham Avinu's mother's name was. What was her name? Anyone know? I don't know. It's like a real girl thing to know. I used to have girls write on top of the test of some school or something. No? It's Gemara in Vavasa too. Anyone know? You know? Laura, Dina, no?
Amasloi Bas Karnavoy.
Very good. Thank you. Amasloi Bas Karnavoy. I don't know what the school it was for. Do we know what the school is for? Probably to get a good grade, but I don't know where it came from.
What's the name?
Amsaloi, Aleph Mem. Aleph Mem, Top Lamed Aleph Yod, Bas Karnavoy. Kof, Reish, Nun, Beis, Vav. It's more about Bas also. But here it says it. Amsaloi, Bas Karnavoy. So it's like one of those trivia questions. What was Avraham Avinu's mother's name? Never heard this before?
Yeah.
Which school did you go to? What?
Not yet in seminary.
They taught me the name. Okay. Now, what was the Nisayan? Says What was the Nisayan? Until now we had the Nisayan. He's going to a place where no one knows him, or he has to leave his father's place. The Medrash says, Tatiltu kasha la'adam yoyser mikol. Lack of stability. Having to travel. Tiltu means I'm on the road all the time. That is the worst. And how do you know that? Because the Nisayan is lech lecha me'artzecha me'latzecha. Lech lecha. Just the going is the Nisayan. The traveling and uprooting himself, that itself, the tiltul, that was the Nisayan. Not so much where I'm leaving or where I'm going, but the middle part of it. The actual travel is very, very hard. Okay, what's the fourth Nisayan? The fourth Nisayan was the Rav. Now the way the Pirkei Tavlaza says, that from the day Shamayim V'aretz was created, there was never a famine in the entire world. 20 dairies, there was never a famine. All of a sudden, the first famine in history is Bimei Avram. Now where was this famine? Was it in the entire world? Nope, it was only in Eretz Canaan. Why? L'masoisei, to test him. U'lohiridei Mitzrayim. That he should have to go down to Mitzrayim. So, he doesn't say exactly, each of the Mepharshim before said, Hashem said the place is going to be blessed, or Hashem said Eschel Gai Gadol in that place, and now you go down to Mitzrayim. He's very part of it. He doesn't say exactly what the issue is, but the issue is there was never a Rav, and here there was a Rav and forced him into Mitzrayim. The fifth one is that Paroi took Sarah. Says the Medrash, V'chiyesh l'cha adam sheraya sheishtoi milkecha li'ish acher. Is there any man in the world who watches as his wife is taken to another man, v'einu kereas v'gadav, and doesn't tear his clothing from mourning and from tsar? So that... That was part of the Nisayan. Now the Medrash says, why one of the reasons that Hashem caused this to happen was the truth is that Ma'aseh Avos Simon Labanim, like some of you wrote about, this whole idea of going down to Mitzrayim was Ma'aseh Avos for the Simon Labanim for Klal Yisrael. And Sarah being taken to Paroi was also part of that. Because Chazal tell us that the night Sarah Imenu was taken to Paroi was Lel Pesach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought, the Pasuk says, she struck Paroi b'negoyim gedolim with all these type of plagues, because to show that La'asid, when Klal Yisrael is going to be in Mitzrayim on Lel Pesach, there's also going to be negoyim gedolim. Paroi is going to be hit with many plagues. Now the Medrash also tells us that Paroi loved Sarah so much that he wrote her a shtar ksuba, a marriage contract. And in it he gave her a lot of money, gold, silver, servants, land, and he gave her Eretz Goshen Lahuza. He gave her a land in Eretz Canaan for her, to be hers. What was that land? Eretz Goshen. Therefore, Klal Yisrael, when they went down to Mitzrayim, where they choose to live, in Eretz Goshen, because that was their Yerusha from Sarah Imenu. And there's some of the Mepharshim say that Kol Zman Klal Yisrael remained in Eretz Goshen. Eretz Goshen had like kedusha like Eretz Yisrael. It belonged to Sarah Imenu. It was not part of Mitzrayim. And Kol Zman they stayed there. They're protected from Paroi. The minute they left, Paroi knew that. That's why Paroi enticed them and he got them to leave. And that's how the Sheba began, except for Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi refused to leave. They sat and they learned Torah. They refused to leave. And therefore, that's why they were not part of the Sheba. But that's Eretz Goshen. Eretz Goshen was her ksuba, and it remained theirs, and that's why Klai Yisrael chose to live there. And at this time, Parai gave Sarah Hagar as a pilegish. Hagar was Parai's daughter, and he decided that she should be, I'm sorry, not Parai's pilegish, should be a shipcha. Hagar was Parai's daughter, and he said, give her to Sarah as a shipcha. Okay, so this was the fifth Nisayan. The sixth Nisayan was the war. The war with the four kings. And the Midrashim, I go through the Midrashim, all the Nisim that happened with them. The seventh Nisayan, he counts as the Brisbane Absarim. But that was a Nisayan, because like we said, that Avraham Avinu was showed the Sheba of Malchus that's going to happen to his children. The eighth Nisayan is the Nisayan of the Bris Milah. The ninth Nisayan was the story with Yishmael. And the Medrash tells the background of the story, like we know, that he was, Yishmael used to shoot arrows, but he Kashas, and he was used to shoot the birds with these arrows. And one time he saw Yitzchak sitting alone and he shot an arrow to kill him. When Sarah saw this, she told it to Avram, she told him what happened, and she said, listen, you have to get rid of Hagar and of Yishmael. The Medrash says, Umikol haray shebo al Avram. From all the things that happened to Avram Avinu, like we said before, this was the thing that was the hardest for him. Like it says, it was very, very bad in his eyes. It was a very hard thing for him to do. So Avram Avinu told, Hashem came to Avram Avinu that night and told him, don't you know that Sarah is really supposed to be your wife? She's Roi L'chali Isha. Hagar's not called your wife, even though you were married to her and had Yishmael, but she's not Ishtecha. She's not your real Zivug, your real mate. Hagar's not your wife, and Sarah's not your Shivcha. And you should know, Sarah's right. Listen to her, and don't worry, Al Yeira Veinecha. It shouldn't be bad in your eyes. This is what you're supposed to do. And like we said, Avraham Avinu did it with Rizus. He got up early in the morning and he gave Hagar a get. He was married to her. He gave her a get and sent her away. Now, the Medrash says that what he did was, it says he gave her like a flask of water, chemas mayim. So the Medrash says it was a very heavy thing, and he tied it around her waist, and it dragged behind her. Now if you have a thing dragging behind you in the sand, it makes a path. Now, the first thing it says is, leida shehi shitcha. He wanted, I don't know who should know this, but someone should know, or maybe he's trying to show to himself, that she is a shifcha, she's not my wife. This is how the servants and maidservants schlep all these things around. So if she's schlepping this thing around, it's showing she's a shifcha. And number two, if Avram is ever going to want to go see Yishmael, he could follow the path that was made in the sand. She went, and it says she went back to her father's Avodah Zarah, and that's when the whole story happened with Yishmael, and he was thirsty, and he was dying, and she threw him tachas achar asichim, and she davened, Vayishmael kim esakal anayas, and that whole story happened over there, and they found the be'er. Now the Medrash says a very interesting thing, and this is a question that I don't remember with someone here when we talked about the Akedah last semester of Parshas Vayera. We went through the whole Akedah, so someone along the line asked me, it says that he took his two Na'aravim. Who were his two Na'arim? Yishmael and Eliezer. So someone asked me, how did Yishmael get by the Akedah? Right, he was sent away already. Send him away. We have a whole story over it. He went away and he got married to, it says, and then after he was revived from almost dying, he met Vatika Flaima Isha Meyaris Mitzrayim, finished. Where's Yishmael coming into the picture of the Akedah? He was long gone. So listen to this Medrash that we're still in this Nisayim. Says the Medrash that 3 years later, Abraham Avinu wanted to see how Yishmael's doing. Interesting thing. Now it seems Sarah is a bit nervous about this trip. He's going back to Yishmael. This is the one I made him send away. He wasn't so happy, and now he's going to visit him. So Sarah made Avram make a shvua. You could go visit him, but you can't get off the camel. And you can't get out of the car, right? You're going to go there? It's too dangerous, I'm afraid. So don't get off the camel. She made him make a shvua, and he made the shvua. So he got there in the middle of the day, and he found the wife of Yishmael. So she said, he tells her, where's Yishmael? So he said that him and his mother went to the midbar, to the desert. They had to go get some fruits, some food. So he says, listen, I'm starving, I'm thirsty, give me some water, give me some food. So she told him, I'm sorry, there's no food in the house and there's no water. So he says, give a message to Yishmael. Tell him that an old man came from Eretz Canaan to see him, and he's not happy with the doorstep. The saf habayis, like the doorstep when you go into the house. Which he meant to say, I'm not happy with your wife. Right? She's not, what kind of balas chesed is this? Not mach nesara. It's like a cryptic message he sent him. But Yishmael came home, and his wife told him, I have a funny message from some old man. And he understood the message, and he sent her home. He sent her home, finished. Obviously, if my father, he was still misyachas to his father, my father's not happy, so he sent her home. So this is, now the pasuk says his mother got him a wife from Eretz Canaan. That's not this first wife, it's the second wife. Now his mother got him a second wife from her, Eretz Canaan is from her, she got it from like her family. So he got remarried to Yishmael. 3 years later, Avram Avinu goes to see Yishmael again. Same thing. Sarah made him make a shvua. He's not getting off the camel. He got there in the middle of the day, and he found a wife, and he said the same thing with Yishmael. This time he went with his mother to, with the camels to graze them in the midbar. So give me some food and water. So she gave it to him. Omar Avram Avinu stood up. I don't know if it means literally stood up. Remember, he was still on the camel. By Misbal of Ne'akadish Baruch, when he davened al Benai, he davened for Yishmael. Vinismale Beisoy Shal Yishmael Mikol Tuv Mimin de Brachas. And Yishmael's house was filled with all types of different brachas, whether some have a gears of food, or all types of brachas. That the Rabban Hashem gave him because Avram Avinu saw he was happy with his wife and he davened for his son Yishmael. When Yishmael came home, his wife told him what happened. V'yada Yishmael, and at that point Yishmael knew she'ad achshav rachamei aviv alav, that must be as his father still cares about him. If his father sees he's happy with his wife and he davened for him, they should have kol tov shebo'olam. He sees his father after all this is still has rachmanis. Shenemar kirachim av albonim. And the Mefarshim say, it's to teach us that even though Yishmael was being Eved Avodah Zarah and he wasn't a proper son, his father still had rachmanis on him. So it's the same thing with Klal Yisrael, that even when we're not necessarily doing the Ratzon of Hashem, Hashem will still have rachmanis kerachim av albonim. And then the Medrash talks about after Sarah died, Avraham Avinu took, it says he took Keturah, some say Keturah was Hagar, and he remarried her. Now, to answer my question, so we see that Avraham Avinu still had shaychus with Ishmael, and in the next Nisayon, which is the 10th Nisayon, says the Pirkei Avos is the Akedah. And we're not going to get into it in detail now, but we'll do that next time. But the Medrash says, "V'yatzah Yishmael min haMidbar liras es Avraham Avinu." His father went twice to see him. Yishmael, at that point, decided. You have to remember something also. In the Akedah, he said, "Kachas bincha." What did Avraham Avinu say? "I have two sons, right? Maybe it's Yishmael. Where's Yishmael?" Well, it's another question. Where is Yishmael? Yishmael's in the picture of the Akedah. The Medrash here says, "V'yatzi Yishmael min haMidbar liras es Avraham Aviv." He came to see his father, and it doesn't sound like it was like a visit, like Avraham. He didn't get off the camel. He came, and that night Hashem gave him the tzivui for the Akedah, which is still, it may answer the question a little bit, but it's still so hard to fathom. Kachna es bincha. This is the son he sent away. And Hashem's telling him, "I have something to do with your son. It's Vincha, your son. I have two sons." He has two sons. He has one son. One sent away. And the other one is married, is doing Avodah Zarah out in the Midbar. I visited him twice in the last 6 years. He happens to be here now. And Hashem is going to now tell me something I should do with him. It's still hard to understand. But at least we've got Yishmael into the picture of the Akedah. At least it answers the question, where was Yishmael? He was here. Okay, we will stop here and we will continue next time. Now,